I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about the Battle of Malta. The Battle of Malta. The Great Battle of Malta in 1565. Now, to talk about some of this, it's one of the great events of history that I think all Christians should know about. The Battle of Malta was one of the considered one of the great decisive victories in the history of Western civilization, because it is one of the numerous attempts that the Muslims made throughout history to invade the Western world. And what we're seeing today with all of the Islamic aggression, with the global jihad at work, and now the Muslims have an ally in the socialists, since at least the Second World War, although that relationship, I believe, you can trace back to at least World War I. You study World War I, the Ottomans were in an alliance with Germany. So Germany and the Ottoman Turks were on one side. Then you had Great Britain and the United States on another. And so once you understand that, by the time you get into World War II and Hitler and the Nazis rise to power, the fact that Hitler is meeting with the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem is really not so strange at that point, because Germany had this relationship with the Islamic world years, decades earlier. They had an alliance with them. So the fact that you had Muslims who were celebrating Hitler, you had Muslims who were fighting in Hitler's army, all of that is part of the strange history of Europe. But the alliance between Germany and the Turks has quite a history. So right now, what's happening? You've got Angela Merkel. She is the prime minister of Germany, and she's inviting more and more and more Muslims into Germany to flood that culture in that part of the world. And, well, I called her prime minister. Actually, technically, her title is chancellor of Germany, but it's the equivalent of a prime minister. And so the relationship is there. The powers of Western Europe, I call them the covert powers, the powers in Rome, the Jesuits, and all those who really supported Hitler and Nazism during the Second World War. Those are the same people, generally, who are supporting this flood of Islam into the West. That's how I see it. I believe that the Islamic and this systematic invasion of Muslims into Western Europe and their attempt to come into the United States as well, this is really the continuation of World War II. The more you study it, the more you look at the relationships, the more you look at the fact that it was the Nazi guerrilla groups called the Werewolves that trained the Muslims, and that's where modern terrorism came from, because the tactics that your Muslim jihadis are using, setting off bombs, having snipers, surprise attacks, all this other kind of stuff, this is what they were taught to do by the Nazis, by these werewolf guerrillas. All right, so the Great Siege of Malta. We are going to be making reference to an article here by Dr. Peter Hammond. Dr. Peter Hammond. And he's written a lot about these issues. I really like his historic research and the approach that he takes with it, because he is trying to encourage Christians in the Western world to stand up for the faith that was once for all delivered unto the saints, and to reclaim our Christian history and not have this apathetic, fatalist view that, oh, well, there's nothing you can do. I've talked about Dr. Ian Paisley on the show before, how Dr. Paisley once said, don't go home and say the cause is lost. The cause is lost. God's cause is never lost. God's cause always wins. Praise the Lord. Now, right here at the beginning of this article from Dr. Hammond on the Battle of Malta, it's called The Great Siege of Malta, his article. He says this, quote, 11 September marks a most strategic date in history. This week marks the 450th anniversary of a most dramatic defeat of Islamic Jihad against Europe. Faced by a new threat of Islamic invasions, Europe needs to learn afresh the lessons of the Great Siege of Malta. And he goes on in the article, interestingly, September the 11th is the date, according to Dr. Hammond, that the Turks lost the Battle of Malta and turned and departed. They had lost most of their warriors in the battle, but they turned and they left. The Crusaders, the Knights of St. John, left them behind, who put up really a heroic fight. I mean, just one of the great fights in history, where they were outnumbered many times over, very similar to the Battle of Thermopylae, for those who know the story of the great 300, the Greeks, with Leonidas and so on, who fought against the Persian army. Now, the 300 were defeated, but the Knights of Malta, the last Crusaders, as they were called in this battle, they were not defeated. They prevailed, ultimately, despite being heavily outnumbered. Now, a little bit of background on what was going on. You had an ongoing conflict between the Islamic world and the Christian world. And this is a conflict that has been, by and large, swept out of the history books that they're teaching our kids in the schools. In fact, I was on an airplane when I was coming back from Canada, from the conference there in Canada. I was sitting next to a guy, and we were talking about this conflict with Islam. He was a Canadian, and talking about the Islamic aggression. And he said, the Crusades, I'm sure that, the Christians have to remember the Crusades, and that as though the Crusades were somehow or other something that Christians should apologize to Islam for, which if you study the Crusades, that's just nonsense. The Crusades were a defensive measure by the Christian world in the West. It was a defensive measure because you had all of these Christian towns and cities and so on that were being overrun by the Muslims. And Christian pilgrims that were going down to Jerusalem to see the Holy Land where Jesus and the apostles walked, many of them were being besieged, kidnapped, enslaved, robbed, murdered, etc., by these Muslim bandits. And so the Crusaders, what they started out to do was a noble act. It was to protect Christian people from being harmed by these bandits, really, and to try to reclaim some of the towns and cities and so on that had been taken away from the Christian world. That's what they set out to do. Now, of course, most of the Crusades went on prior to the Great Reformation. Prior to the Reformation, the Crusades were going on. However, now you've got Luther 1517, the 95 Theses, and so it is roughly half a century later, in 1565, that is where you have the Great Battle of Malta. The Battle of Malta. There's even a quote from Queen Elizabeth I, who was the Protestant queen, who had said famously, she had said, quote, "If the Turks should prevail against the Isle of Malta, it is uncertain what further peril might follow to the rest of Christendom." All right, now some background on all of this. What was going on before the conflict at Malta? First of all, it's important to remember, it's important for all Christians to understand, in this conflict with the Islamic world, the Muslims are overwhelmingly the aggressors throughout history from the very beginning. Christianity was in the world for 600 years, roughly, before the Prophet Muhammad came along. And when Muhammad came along, he and his bandits began besieging towns and cities and so on, and turning people into slaves and slaughtering people and taking things over. And then Muhammad, of course, told his followers to basically go and conquer the entire world for Islam. And that is a quest that the Muslim world has been on for 1400 years. They have never ceased their desire or their ambition to conquer the world for Islam. They've never ceased in that desire. It is written into Islamic teaching that they are to wage unending jihad or holy war until they can force all of the people to declare that there is but one God, Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. And until everybody bows to Islam, the word Islam means submission, until that happens, they are to wage unending war against all non-Muslims. And then, of course, they wage war against their fellow Muslims who are apostates, and that from the time of Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr was the caliph who fought the wars of apostasy. If you want to understand, I believe, ISIS, the leader of ISIS, who's called Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, I believe he took that name because it's symbolic of the original Abu Bakr. And what ISIS did when they went into Iraq and Syria and so on is the first thing they did was confront their fellow Muslims who had been cooperating with the United States, with the Crusader armies, as they call us, the infidels. You betrayed the Prophet, they basically said to them. That's why you watch some of the video footage, how they treated the Iraqis, the soldiers and the police and this kind of thing. When they went in there, when ISIS went and took them over, they just treated them with absolute contempt and hatred. Because it is apostasy for the Muslim to befriend the infidel. That is a form of apostasy. Not only that, but especially to befriend the infidel against Islam, against Muslims. I mean, that is especially a heinous crime. It's the problem with the postmodern approach to Islam. And I suspect that the globalists and the Jesuits and the Vatican, I am all but positive that they know full well that the ambition of secular humanism to try to somehow or other come up with this peaceable version of Islam that is just going to live quietly next to everybody else, that is virtually impossible. And they know it. They know that it's just a matter of time. You bring millions of Muslims into a certain part of the world, it's just a matter of time before they're going to try to force the people around them to submit to Sharia. But all that to say, this conflict with Islam has quite a history. It's not just, I mean, some people will blame, they'll say the intelligence community this, or the Democratic Party, the socialists, the liberals, etc. All of that is certainly true. There is a, I call it the Judas Iscariot coalition. There is a betrayal going on in the Western world. But the Muslims, all by themselves, long before there were Judas Iscariots in the Western world, long before that, the Muslims have repeatedly tried to invade the West. And one of their attempts was through the Great Siege of Malta. And what had been going on, of course, is the Muslims had been capturing slaves up and down the coastlines of Europe for centuries. For centuries, they did this up into the 19th century. This is kind of the forgotten chapter in the history of slavery. But let's go to our commercial break, and we're going to talk more about that when we come back right after this.
Dullum Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part 3 in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today: the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. Today, we are talking about the Battle of Malta, the Great Battle of Malta. Of course, the Isle of Malta is one of the places where the Apostle Paul witnessed in the first century. He was shipwrecked on the Isle of Malta and gave the gospel to the people there. Many of them came to salvation. So the island itself is very, very symbolic. It is a cherished location in the history of Christianity. Now, before we went to the break, we were talking about the Muslim slave raids on Europe. We, in our schools, we all were taught about how the white people went supposedly and kidnapped black people in Africa and made them slaves. However, that's not the real history of what happened. What happened was the Islamic slave trade in Africa had been going on for more than 500 years before Europeans got involved. And when Europeans, whether they were from Great Britain or from the United States, the ordinary practice was for the slave traders to go to Africa and meet with the Muslim slave traders and then to purchase slaves from the Muslim slavers. Well, slave raids on Europe is something that had gone on since the 1500s. Here, according to Dr. Hammond, he says, quote, Muslim slave raiders were depopulating whole villages, attacking coastal towns of Italy, France, Spain, Portugal, England, Wales, and Ireland, and even seizing white slaves from as far away as Iceland. Ultimately, over 1.1 million Christian Europeans were kidnapped and enslaved by Muslim pirates between 1500 and 1800. Now, I've seen other numbers where some say it's 1.5 million, others say it's as many as 2 million, but it appears to be the consistent number that shows up is that over a million Western Europeans were kidnapped, brought back to Africa, and bought and sold in the Islamic white slave trade. And it was called the white slave trade. In fact, the word slave, the origin of the word slave, comes from the word Slav, as in the Slavic people. This is what they don't talk about in our schools, about slavery. Because, of course, if they did, then they would have a very difficult time trying to push Islam as the religion of peace and all this other kind of stuff. Or if they talked about modern Islamic slavery that goes on in the world right now, that would be politically incorrect. All right, so the Muslims were involved in these slave raids on Europe. Now, what the Knights of St. John, who were called the last of the Crusaders, they were seen as really kind of a worn-out order of knights. Their time of glory had come and gone, and now here they are. They were on the Isle of Rhodes, and they fought a battle against the Muslims at Rhodes. They held out for a long time at Rhodes, but ultimately had to turn away, had to flee, because they were overwhelmed by greater numbers. That's typically what happens. If you study the history of Islamic aggression, the Muslims typically win when they have greater numbers. If you have a whole horde of them, man to man, typically, not necessarily always. In fact, I was just reading about a battle earlier where it was the other way around, but most of the time, it appears, if you study these battles, the Crusaders will have a significantly smaller number to begin with, and the Muslim enemy, the invader that comes in, has tens of thousands more, many times more, and the Crusaders will often prevail with smaller numbers. So, man, and that's what happened in the Battle of Malta. There were about 40,000 Turkish Muslims that came against about 9,000 Crusaders, knights and soldiers, and I'm calling them all Crusaders, which may or may not be appropriate, but you had many knights, and then you had people from the local towns. Some of them were recruited and given uniforms and weapons and this kind of thing. But there was a force of about 9,000, roughly, that were defending Malta against about 40,000 Muslims. But the reason the conflict came about to begin with was because you had your Turkish pirates that were sailing up and down the waters, and they were often carrying their slave cargo that was made up quite often of Christians who had been kidnapped by the Muslims and put on these slave ships. And so the Knights of St. John, they had their own navies. And what they were doing is they were going and intercepting these Muslim slave ships, taking them over, defeating the Muslim warriors, sailors, corsairs, pirates, and then setting the Christian crews free. That's what they were doing. What they were doing was actually a very noble endeavor. They were heroes. And they were said to be the toughest warriors in all of Christendom. That's one of the things Dr. Hammond points out, that the Knights of St. John, these were tough fighters, very tough guys. And so they keep intercepting the Muslim slave ships and their cargo ships and this kind of thing, taking their cargo, taking their supplies, and of course, setting their slaves free. So the Muslims got angry about it, and they said, okay, you know what? Enough is enough. We're going to go, and we are going to put an end to these Knights of St. John, who are now, we chased them out of Rhodes. Now we're going to go, and we're going to destroy them out of Malta, because we're tired of them hijacking our ships. Now, this is something that I have come to believe, brethren. The conflict at Malta is very symbolic of a lot of what has gone on historically and that follows us right up into modern times. Part of the reason why you have this resentment from the Islamic world is that not only with the siege of Malta, but in the 19th century, when Great Britain and the United States decided not to practice slavery anymore, to abolish slavery, they stopped buying slaves from the Muslims in Africa. That's one, cost them a lot of money. Two, then they decided, okay, we're going to abolish all slavery. We're not going to let you enslave black Africans anymore. We're going to put a stop to that. We're going to intercept your ships. And Great Britain and the United States had more powerful navies, and that's what they did. They intercepted these ships through the 19th century and put a stop to the open practice of enslaving people and carrying them back and forth across the waters. This was all put to an end by Great Britain and the United States. And the Muslims, of course, were not happy about it. And there are some who believe that their anger about this continues right up into modern times. Right up into, because you start looking at these Muslim countries, like Saudi Arabia technically gave up slavery in 1962, right around there in the 1960s, early 60s, they gave up slavery. Now, of course, nobody thinks they actually gave it up. Many people think they're still practicing slavery. But Islam does not have a problem with slavery. According to the teachings of Muhammad, the Quran, the Hadiths, and so on, they have no problem with slavery. And that's why they still practice it in those parts of the world where they can get away with it. But they resent, I believe, they continue to resent the Christian world because the Christian world has continually fought against them on slavery and has eventually gained the upper hand by the grace of God and been resisting them now all over the world. And I find it very interesting that they have teamed up with the Democrats, who were also slavers back in the 19th century, and with them the Jesuits, who were also slavers in the 19th century. And they're all on the same side today. There's a lot of symbolism to the siege at Malta, in my opinion. But you know what? We are out of time for today. We're going to have to carry this over into a part two. So that's going to do it for us, brethren. That is our show. We'll stop it there. But we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.